The Rock and the Hard Place. That's the title of the message tonight. The Rock and the Hard Place. You know, the pastor's messages this year have been really pointing us toward revival. And it starts by knowing who our Father is. And then it evolved. I don't want to use that word evolve. Yuck. Wipe it out of my mouth. It starts with knowing who our Father is. And then we have to believe what He has said about who we are. Because until we believe what He has said about who we are, then we will never be able to accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. Because we're going to be on the fence. We're going to be unsure. We're not going to know who we really are. But once we get to the point, as you see in my notes, once we get to the point of an assurance deep down inside of us that who we are is an unshakable truth in our lives, that's when we will begin to really walk the way the Father wants us to walk. On Sunday, I got tickled because Pastor started talking about the Apostle Paul a little bit. And I have been thinking about the Apostle Paul as part of this message, too. And so I want you to imagine the Apostle Paul showing up at a church or just showing up here, okay? Not at this church, but just here in this country. And then he hears all of the things that we are currently hearing in this country. And can you just see Paul? He's thinking, now, wait a minute. That's not in the Bible. I don't see that. Right. I mean, I went to the third heaven. I spent some time with Jesus. He shared all this revelation with me, but I don't recall any of this. So how did you, the body of Christ, get this? Where did it come from? How do you get to this place? How did you get to this place? And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning, this evening, about how we have gotten to this place, okay? Because it's so sad that many of us in the body of Christ, we don't even realize we're at this place. We think everything is fine. We think everything is normal, okay? And we don't see any problem with some of the issues that are facing us today. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul being told that it's okay to have 1,300 million different denominations? I mean, because, you know, we've all read the Bible, and we've all decided that we're going to believe this, we're going to believe that. Can you imagine Apostle Paul being told that, you know, we've read the Bible, and we don't see anything in the Bible that opposes two men getting married or two women getting married? We don't see anything in the Bible, Apostle Paul, about a person giving to have their needs met. Well, we see that. And Paul said, but where? But where? Pastor said something. It was either this Sunday or the past. He said, if you would look at the church 50 years ago versus where it is now, you wouldn't recognize it. No. You wouldn't recognize it. And he is absolutely right. So can you imagine the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago looking at the church today? He would be shocked. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. And that's where we're going to start. In Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, we're going to pick it up in verse 13. But I don't want us to miss what happens in the first 12 verses, because the first 12 verses are very important too. Matter of fact, let's just take the time to read it, okay? Verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting Jesus, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the day is red, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation, seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. They all knew that story. Okay? And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Now notice, Jesus said, you will know the signs of the time because of the story of the prophet Jonas. He's pointing them back to the word. Okay? Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. When Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? In other words, I'm not talking about food. I'm not talking about the bread that you eat. Okay, verse 11. How is it that you do not understand that I spake not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So what is the point so far? Paying attention to who you are listening to and avoiding what they are saying. Okay? So it's all about the word. Okay? Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly where we are today. Who do they say that the Son of Man is? Because even though we talk about homosexuality, we talk about same-sex marriage, we talk about abortion, all those sort of things, it all relates to what does the Word say? Who is the Son of Man and what has he said? That's what it all relates to. That's what it all relates to. Okay? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And that's exactly where we are. Who is the world claiming Jesus to be? And then who do we say that he is? Okay? I'm going to take a little bit of rabbit trail because I want you to think about this for a minute, okay? And then I'm going to get back on track. Imagine Jesus coming up to you and saying, who do men say that you are? Who do men say you are? And then he will ask you, but who do you say you are? You have to know who you are, regardless of what people say about you. Do you see what I'm saying? Because, see, so many of us in the body of Christ, we are more concerned about what people say about us than knowing who we are and knowing what God says about us. So who do men say you are, Becca? And then, Becca, who do you say you are? Stephen, who do men say you are? But who do you say you are? You see that? Because, see, he was the Son of God. Becca, daughter of God. Stephen, son of God. We have the same DNA Jesus has. We're no different. So who do men say that Judy, you are? And then Judy, who do you say you are? Michelle? The same thing, all along the line, okay? But my point in all this is, right now, the body of Christ is answering that question based on who man says Jesus is. Based on what man says the Bible says. The body of Christ is not answering this question based on where they live. They're not answering this question based on who their father is. They're not answering this question based on what's on the inside of them. They're answering the question based on what others are telling them. And that's why you have some folks in the body of Christ who are aligning themselves with things that are against Scripture. Okay? And we're going to get into that a little bit more too. He says unto them, verse 15, "But whom do ye say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What is the rock that Jesus is going to build his church? Is it going to be on Peter? No. Revelation, knowledge. The Word. The whole passage has been about the Word. The whole passage. It's revelation, knowledge. Okay? He's going to build it on revelation, knowledge. So, what we see here, the rock is the revelation, knowledge. You see that? The rock. It's the revelation knowledge. That's what we're talking about here in this verse. So Jesus asked two questions, and we know the two questions that he asked them, okay? Now, in verse 19, he says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." What were the keys of the kingdom of heaven? Go back to chapter 4. Look at verse 17. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Okay? So the keys to the kingdom of heaven was everything that Jesus taught. Those are the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Everything that he has taught. Okay? Because, see, now once we got born again, once we're now part of the kingdom, we have to know how to live in that kingdom. And so Jesus was teaching them how to live in the kingdom. Okay? So, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And this is after he has told them to beware, be weary of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He asked them this question after making that statement. And then he says, "But now, who do you think that I am?" Okay? Who do you think that I am? And see, one of the things that I think we have to come to grips with about Jesus, Gary Carpenter says Jesus was love on legs, okay? Love with legs, okay? But one thing we have to come to grips with Jesus, about Jesus is this. He was uncompromising. If he said something and you said something different, you were wrong. I mean, that's the long and the short of it. That's the long and the short of it. If you said something that disagreed with him, you were wrong. How many of you, sons and daughters of God, are willing to take that stand? How many? How many of you, when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the Word of God says, you're willing to say, "This is what it says," and when someone says, "Well, that's your opinion," you says, "No, you are wrong." Yeah. How many? You're not going to win any friends this way, folks. But you may save a life. You may save a life. So Jesus, he was uncompromising. Jesus, listen to me, did not let his emotions get involved. He did not let his emotions get involved when he was dealing with people. He just cut right to the chase because he was trying to save people. He did not let emotions get involved with it, okay? Jesus knew who he was. Without a shadow of a doubt, he knew who he was. and he knew his father, and he knew what his father would do for him. We don't know that. Barry's hand is up. It went up first. I'm honest about things. There's so much about my father that I'm still learning. So much. But I'm just glad that he's willing to take the time to teach me. Okay? So we see here that Jesus says, "Thou art Peter, but upon this rock," upon the rock of the revelation you just heard, Peter, from my father, that's how I'm going to build my church. And then he says in verse 19, and you know something else, Peter? The gates of hell would not be able to stand against the revelations of my word, against my rock. So you could think about the things that Jesus said all out through the Gospels as little rocks. Rocks thrown at the kingdom. So he says the kingdom of heaven will not be able to stand against the rocks of my word. I'm thinking about this after reading this word that I just read. How the Lord really, really spoke to us about speaking the word. Speaking the word. Because, see, when we speak the words, that's how we do damage to the kingdom of darkness. And it's the only way we do damage to the kingdom of darkness. We don't do damage to the kingdom of darkness by marching. We don't do damage to the kingdom of darkness by putting little motivational quotes on Facebook. That's not how you fight against the kingdom of darkness. You have to get in Satan's face and let him know that you know who you are and you know who your father is. And that he's wrong when he comes up against you. Okay? Now, when do we find ourselves in a hard place when facing the rock? Okay? First of all, let's talk about what the hard place is. The hard place are the allowances we make when we want to do something that the word says we shouldn't do. That's when we put ourselves in the hard place. Because we're standing in direct opposition to what God wants to do in our lives. When you stand in opposition to God, you are standing away from his hand of blessing. When you're standing in opposition to God, you are standing in the enemy's kingdom. You are uncovered. You are game. Fair game.
That's right.
Fair game. And you and I both know there's no such thing as fair game. Because the game is always going to be on the run. It's always going to be trying to hide. And so when you are standing in opposition to God, you are making yourself available to the enemy of the soul. Okay? And see, the hard place. Jeremiah, which pastor's been talking about. You remember the verse where God tells Jeremiah, "I want you to take my word, and when you take my word to the people, do not fear their faces." Okay? Let me tell you what's the problem with the body of Christ today. With all the issues we've already talked about, they know someone. They know someone. And so you have a hard problem, but I know this person. And this person is a good person. I mean, they go to church with me. We bowl together. I know this person. So surely that's not what the Word of God meant. You know, we put a face to the abomination. And so when we put a face to the abomination, surely it can't be wrong. Surely it can't be wrong. But see, the enemy of the soul has worked that way since the Garden of Eden. He's worked that way since the Garden of Eden. He's always put a face with what he wants to see happen. Always. Always. And see, that's one of the biggest issues in the body of Christ. Every abomination that we are dealing with today in this country, someone can put a face to it. And that is why they are in the hard place. Because they're trying to see the Word of God, see what Jesus says, see what the Bible says, and then they see the face. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, the face is part of the family. And that makes it so hard for them to take what the Bible says and they see that face. How on earth could what the Bible says apply to her, to him? There's got to be something wrong in how we are looking at the Bible. And it is. We're looking at the Bible through the faces of the people we love. We're looking at the Bible through the faces of the people we work with. We're looking at the Bible through the faces of the people we come in contact with every day, who are on the surface good and wonderful people. I don't doubt that they are good people. But they can be good people and still be on the road to the lake of fire. They can still be good people. They could be wonderful people. They will probably give you the shirt off of their back and not even hesitate. It does not change the fact that they are still on the road to the lake of fire. But see, but for those of us in the body of Christ, that is a hard concept to see. We have to get to the point that our experiences do not filter the truth of what God's Word says. We got to get to that point. Because, see, your experiences are different. Neil has experiences I don't have. Jeff has experiences I don't have. Cindy has experiences I don't have. They're different. But one thing is the same for all of us, this book. The truth of God's Word is the same for all of us. Okay? So how do we put ourselves in the hard place? By the decisions that we make. By the decisions we make. Now, why do so many find themselves in the hard place? Look at 1 Timothy. And we're going to march through these. Why do so many find themselves in the hard place? 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 13. What's the first word? First two words, once you get there. Hold fast. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, you hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Titus, chapter 1, verse 9. It says, what's the first two words? Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Okay? So what was Paul's warning? Paul's warning was that, Timothy, you need to hold fast the faithful word that I have taught you. You got to hold it fast. You got to grab it, Timothy. You can't let it go. You have to hold on to it so hard that there is nothing that can pull it away from you. Because, Timothy, I'm telling you right now, you're going to hear men You're going to hear women who are going to be teaching you, saying things that disagree with what I have taught you, Timothy. But Timothy, they're going to sound so good. Timothy, it's going to appeal to your emotions. It's going to appeal to your logic, Timothy. It's going to sound so good. It's going to make so much sense, Timothy. But you have to let it go. You have to hold on to the sound words that I have given you, Timothy. And see, the body of Christ right now, for the most part, we have not held on to those sound words. And part of it, if we call the people like me, number one, we haven't taught them the sound words. Me, a teacher. Okay, that's the example I'm giving. We have not taught them the sound words. Okay? People in the pulpit have been just as guilty of speaking things that sound so good but are so wrong. They sound so good, but they are so wrong. They are. There was this pastor who pastors a church. And all the years that he pastored this church, he was against homosexuality and same-sex marriage. His son came out as being gay. So this pastor changed his whole theology based on his son coming out, saying that he's homosexual. It doesn't matter what the Word of God says. This is my son. This is the face that I see. You see what I'm saying? It's happening all over the body of Christ. All over the body of Christ. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 16. One of the reasons that many in the body of Christ find themselves in a hard place because they don't believe what this scripture says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is theopneustos. All scripture is God breathed. It's the very life of God. And it's given to us for doctrine, so that we will know the right thing to believe, that we will know that what we believe is what God believes. Is given to us for reproof. It's given to us so that when we find those areas that we are in disagreement with God, it shows us. It shows us. And then the third thing, for instruction in righteousness, how to get back to the right doctrine, to believing what we're supposed to believe, living the way we're supposed to live. All scripture is given for that purpose. And see, you can't pick and choose the all scripture. All means all. You can't pick and choose, okay? We're pickers. The body of Christ, we're pickers. Because as long as the Word of God agrees with what we agree with, then it's okay. But when we don't agree with what the Word of God says, then we make allowances. We put ourselves in the hard place. Verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, may mature, may be thoroughly furnished to all good work. That the man of God may mature into the place of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. That's where we're going, okay? 2 Peter chapter 2. Why do we still find ourselves in the hard place? Look at verse 20 in 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Why is there is not a private interpretation? Because all scripture is God breathed. And so God already knows the interpretation of all Scripture. So no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That word, no private interpretation, has an interesting meaning. It means it's not one's letting on. In other words, it's not interpreted about how by how you feel or by what you believe. The Word of God tells you what to believe.
Amen. Amen.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Why is it not of any private interpretation? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Men just didn't decide that we're going to write Scripture. Okay? And a lot of people believe that's exactly what the Bible is. A book written by men. Okay? But the Word of God says, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So these men were secretaries. That's what they took dictation. That's all they did. They took dictation. Okay? And I'm so glad they did. Praise God. But see, when you are faced with the rock and what the rock says, and you want to disagree with it, then you're going to say that the Bible was written by fallible men. The Bible was written by men who made mistakes. Okay? There are men and women who will tell you they can read the exact same verses we read and come up with a completely different reading of those verses. And primarily because they're not praying in tongues. Not praying in tongues. Praying in tongues will take care of all of that. Okay? Now, look in, I added this, it's not part of your notes, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at real quickly of being faithful to the rock. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Look at verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Jesus. Excuse me for a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Is that?
Yes.
2 Timothy, uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Do you hear this? Do you hear this? Deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Do you see that? And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How are we faithful to the rock? By continuing in the things that we have been taught. And we don't let them go. We hold them fast. One more passage. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, verse 66. What we're about to read happens after a lot of the disciples left Jesus because of the sayings that he was saying about, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to eat my body, drink my blood. And they said that this is a hard saying. Who can handle it? And so in verse 66, once I get to it, Jesus says, is that the verse I want? Yeah. Jesus says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then says Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? He's saying that to us, ladies and gentlemen. You see most of my body right now. You see where my body is walking. They're not walking hand in hand with me. They're not standing in the same place I'm standing. They are making allowances for what they see. Will you do the same thing? Are you going to do the same thing? Because, and it just breaks my heart, the body doesn't realize that we are walking away. We are walking away. We're walking away from freedom back into bondage. That's what we're doing. So Jesus says, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? God, I love that. Yeah. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? And we believe and are sure. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Will you leave too? Will you go away too? And Peter says, but to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. You have the words of life. And we believe and we are assured that you are who you said you are. And that's where we stand today, ladies and gentlemen. That is where we stand. Do we really believe that Jesus has the words of life? Yes. No matter whose face we are looking at, do we believe Jesus has the words of life? Because, see, for that pastor whose son came out and said he's homosexual, that pastor needs to know that Jesus has the words of life. Because if he doesn't, his son is not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And this pastor, if he stays on that road, may not make it into heaven. So we have to believe that Jesus has the words of life. No matter what it costs us, we have to believe he has the words of life, and we have to be willing to operate the same way he did. We have to be uncompromising, and we have to be able to stand up, shoulders back, head held high, and be unequivocating and say, you are wrong. You are wrong. And I tell you, you are wrong because I love you. And if I don't tell you you are wrong, you're going to continue to think that what you are doing is okay, and it's not. You're going to miss heaven if you stay on this road. Speak the word, ladies and gentlemen. Never allow the world to put you between the rock and the hard place. Because the rock is always going to win. My word never returns void. The rock is always going to win. Okay? So please stand. I started thinking about this message after Pastor's first sermon on the days of Jeremiah upon us. And so, we teachers, we always are working, even though we're not necessarily teaching. We're always working. And so, when Pastor asked me to minister tonight, this was here. And it just really flowed with the word that came tonight. And then with some of the things Pastor has been sharing. I have not left you alone. I have not left you without the resources you need. I have not left you lacking. I have given you everything. Everything you need to stand strong in the face of all opposition. Yes, even in the face of the opposition you will receive from your brothers and sisters in Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is telling us we're going to receive opposition from family. We're going to receive opposition from family. And I'm talking about your spiritual family. It may include your natural family too, but definitely you're going to receive opposition from your spiritual family. But love them. Love them enough to stand up, head straight, shoulders back, and tell them, I love you, but you are wrong.